Mother's Day 2023. Can you believe that you've made it to another Mother's Day service? And just after all the years that we've endured recently in these past few years, it's certainly grateful to have a Mother's Day again and celebrate this day. There is a photo area in the back if you'd like to get pictures with your family. I want to make you aware of that so you can all smile real big and get that picture, and hopefully it will turn out as good. We can't help you too much with the results. That's your own fault. But it is available also for those that were unable to be here yesterday for the Mother's Daughter Banquet. There are a few gifts left out in the foyer. I think Sister Helen has given as many away that she could, but if you have not yet received one, we want to make that aware to you. I did something a few years ago, and I did the unspeakable thing, and that was, we were newlyweds, my wife and I were newlyweds, and I said, what would you like? Or we had a conversation, and she mentioned something about needing a new microwave. So on her birthday, I bought my wife a microwave. Yeah. Yeah, I did the wrong thing. I mean, it was a nice one. It was stainless steel. You know, inflation wasn't part of the problem then, but it was expensive at the time. But I thought, you know what? I'm not going to be outdone. That was really high fluting right there to get her a stainless steel microwave. So I thought, I'm going to outdo myself this year. Brother Andy, can you show everybody what I got my wife for Mother's Day? Look at that. Sponge Mommy. Yeah. I brought it in. I said, sweetheart, she had told me she wanted a new scrubber for the dishes. And I thought, well, my Lord, Sponge Mommy. I got her a microwave, and now I got her Sponge Mommy of all things. We got Sponge Daddy. Well, there's Sponge Mommy, so there it is. I know I'm meddling. I really didn't get that for her. She needed one, and I bought it. Or she wanted one. Yeah, because that's what every mother's heart's desire is, to have a new sponge. Amen, amen. But mothers, truly... Everybody's going to shut me down after that. They're like, I can't believe you do that. I really did. I really bought my wife other things. But anyways, I do salute you, mothers, and all that you do. Could you just, everybody, give a hand clap to honor the mothers today? I read this just the other day, and I thought how fitting it is. And it's from a mother's point of view. She writes, I think it goes without saying that it takes a very special person to be a mother. Being a parent changes everything, but being a parent also changes with each baby. Here are some of the ways having a second and third child is different from having the first. Are you ready? This is what she says. Sister Emily's nodding her head like, yep, I already know. I know how this goes. Are you ready? This lady writes that the clothes, your clothes as a woman changes. First baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your doctor confirms your pregnancy. Second baby, you wear your regular clothes for as long as possible. Third baby, this is terrible. Your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. Right here goes, their clothes, talking about the children. First baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, and fold them neatly in the baby's little bureau, whatever that is. Second baby, you check to make sure that the clothes are clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. I'm a middle child, I know. Third baby, they said this, boys can wear pink, can't they? Worries of the mother. First baby, at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, you pick up the baby. Second baby, you pick up the baby when her wails threaten to wake your firstborn baby. Third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing. Diapering. First baby, you change your baby's diaper every hour, whether they need it or not. Second baby, you change their diaper every 2 to 3 hours, if needed. And third baby, now I don't really believe this one, but third baby, you try to change their diaper before others start to complain about the smell or you see it sagging to their knees. I feel like that's the second baby, but at home, the first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby. Second baby, you spend a bit of every day watching to be sure you're older. The child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. My mother told us when she brought home my sister, the youngest of us three, for whatever reason, she told me in particular, don't swing a bat around her head and don't hit her in the head with a spoon. I don't know why, but third baby at home. You spend a little bit of every day hiding from the children. Mothers, again, I applaud you. Another article I read, what my mother taught me. My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed, you better pray that stain will come out of the carpet. She taught me logic from her decisive words, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight, make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. I'd hate to get in an accident, I didn't clean my underwear today. That's terrible, isn't it? I said that out loud, too. This is going to be fun. My mother taught me irony, keep laughing, and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me about stamina. You'll sit there till all that food is finished. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. She taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. She taught me behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mom like you do. And one more time, can we just clap our hands and honor our sweet mother today? All the mothers, would you just stand real quick so we get a good look at you? All the mamas out there, look at that. Goodness gracious. One more time, clap your hands. It's wonderful. Great group of mothers today. And some are with their mothers today, so they're unable to be here, but we're thankful that you're here. Amen. There are some mothers in Scripture who seem to possess the title of the unseen hero. It's in Matthew chapter 1, you know, that first chapter that you typically overlook or skim through it. But it's there I want to draw our attention to. If we're to be really honest, I doubt there's many here today that would say they enjoy reading the genealogy of the various ones in Scripture. so-and-so begat so-and-so. I mean, it just goes down the list, and you can't pronounce half of them anyways, but you're like, I got to check this off my bread chart or my reading devotion today. So you're quickly getting through it, and you're getting through it, and it's saying, catch me. You can't catch me. I'm the gingerbread man kind of thing. You're just reading as fast as you can. But we don't have the time or maybe even the energy to read the entire genealogy. But the writer made a point to mention the names of a few that certainly did not belong there or even deserve to be there according to others' standards. Let's quickly look at a few of those outcasts in Scripture found in Matthew chapter 1. The Bible reads like this: the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And for the sake of time, we're only going to cover a few of those. And we find five names in Scripture. It is Matthew chapter 1 and verse 3. And Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. You see, Tamar is a mother who represents, she is kind of like the forgotten one. Tamar finds her way into the ancestry of Jesus Christ because of her unwillingness to not be forgotten. She was married and her first husband died due to sin. Her second husband was just as guilty of living a life that would not respect the laws of God and the ways of God. So God removed him as well. And now that left Tamar to be childless, to be a widow. Everybody say Tamar, the forgotten one. Now, please forgive me as I mentioned it through the years, but and many times, and I know it's very counterculture to our Western minds, but in Scripture, in biblical times, a woman's worth was to be found not just in how she looked necessarily, but could she have children and have a lot of them? Her worth, you see, in biblical times was wrapped up into whether or not she could have babies. For you see, it was passed down from generation to generation that the seed of Abraham would be as many as the stars in the heavens and the sands of the sea. And lest we forget, it was prophesied of old that the Messiah would make his entrance through a woman, and it would be through her seed, Scripture states, that would crush the works of the enemy. Can I pause here for a moment and just mention there's nothing like the prayers of a mother. There's nothing like a prayer coming from a mother. If you didn't come from a praying home, you can start that now. If you did not come from a prayer, hear me, ladies, you can start that right now and start praying in your home. But if you've come from one, there's nothing like it. If you know that when things aren't adding up, you can call on mama to pray. How many kids have adult kids ever had to call on your mother to get a hold of God for you because you're just in a mess and you don't know what to do? And you're like, oh, I'll pray for myself, but man, I'd sure like my mama's prayers right now. And so it's a quick text message. It's a quick phone call. Man, I remember when my mama would pray, she'd sometimes say, Lord, put rocks in their pillows so they can't sleep tonight. Give them conviction, God, for the way they're living. And we'd wake up and we'd be in a grumpy mood. We'd be mad. And she'd say, what's wrong? Well, I don't like this. Why are you so grumpy? You think you ought to change that then? And then she'd also help the Lord out by changing our attitude. You could probably read between the lines on that. But I'm thankful that there are mothers here today who are unashamedly worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, who are passionate about God's presence and the purpose in their lives. I'm thankful there's ladies that still clap their hands. I'm thankful today that there's ladies that still raise their hand. Are you one of those? Would you just stand to your feet, clap your hands, and say, I'm going to be one of the worshipers today. I'm going to be a worshiper today. Somebody shout hallelujah. Tamar, she wanted to be part of that prophecy. You see, the law demanded the next of kin to step up and carry on the name of the oldest son, except Judah felt Tamar was part of the problem. You can read this in Scripture. He felt that just maybe she was the common denominator or of the death of his two boys, and so Judah lied to her. Has anybody ever been lied to? Have you ever been lied to by somebody you trust? Judah made false promises and is in within those moments of neglect that Tamar took matters into her own hand. And we tend to do that sometimes. When we feel forgotten, we take matters into our own hands. Right or wrong, in our own hands we do it. We tend to lean that way when we feel forgotten or misused and our name is being driven in the mud. And I'll spare the details as to what she had done to keep this PG on this Mother's Day. But regardless of what happened, Tamar finds her way into the ancestral mention of Jesus called the Christ. For Matthew chapter 1 and 3 states, and Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. I propose to us today that Tamar felt forgotten and lied to, yet the one who will never leave you nor forsake you showed up and fixed her wrongs. Jesus came on the scene. You see, let's be honest today. We can all relate a little to Tamar, the forgotten one. We have a feeling at times that life has a way of messing us over. There are times, if we're to be honest today, that we've all felt like we've been forgotten, overlooked, done dirty. You know, there's times that even as mothers, now I'm not a mom, but I'm married to one. And there's times that mamas feel like they've been overlooked. No one wants to admit that. But you have. I'll talk for you. I'll be your voice. I'll be your advocate. Somebody say amen. Amen. There's times that you feel like you're overworked and underpaid. Well, amen. Yet Jesus has a way of showing up and righting those wrongs. Hear me today, and this is what I want to preach from this. If we put a title to it, it's simply this: just stay faithful, mama. You just stay faithful. You stay faithful to God, and God will always keep his word. It was through her being forgotten that later in her genealogy we read and we find Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, God Almighty knows how to right our wrongs. And if you feel forgotten today, you're not alone. Tamar in Scripture felt used, abused, forgotten. But because our Lord is a personal Savior, he knows how to right our wrongs. Can we clap our hands and thank the Lord for that today? You just stay faithful, mama, and God will step in. You just stay faithful, mama, and God will bring the feeling of being forgotten and bring you up into a place of respect. There's this other one in Scripture, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. This is another unmentionable one, unmentionable ladies in Scripture that many don't want to talk about. And Solomon begat Booz or Boaz of Rahab. That's kind of crazy there. You see, because Rahab was the lady that helped let the spies down the wall from Jericho. She's the lady that Scripture gives a description of that would not be deemed politically correct today. She provided unspecified services to those in Jericho. Somebody say amen. It would offend too many, and if I went into too much detail, and I don't want you to have conversations at this Mother's Day luncheon that you'll probably go to. So I'll spare the details on what Rahab was known for. But here it is. She wasn't the type of lady that you would want your kids to hang around, or nor would you want your name to be mentioned with her name in the same sentence. She's the unwanted one in the genealogy of Jesus. Yet at the same time, her faith was not overlooked. She's the unwanted one in this picture because of what society would label her. And I submit to your consideration today that even though you might feel like you're unwanted by society, unwanted by others because of some previous choices, unwanted by families who know a rumor or two about you, hear me today. He's a personal Savior, and He wants you to remain faithful because God Almighty has a way of righting the wrongs against us. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5, and Solomon, the father of Boaz, by Rahab. I rise to encourage us today that even in your troubled past, Jesus will come to where you are and mend the broken pieces and be that missing puzzle piece that you've been looking for. Hear me today. God Almighty has a way of righting your wrongs. He's a personal Savior. Even if society wants no part of you, Jesus wants to be part of your life. Would you clap your hands and thank the Lord for that? You see, Rahab was the unwanted one, the one with a reputation. Yet we find Jesus' birth, again, righted her wrongs. And you know what I like about Rahab in Scripture? She demonstrated faith based on a rumor that God was with the people of Israel. She based her faith on a rumor. Joshua chapter 2 and 11 reads like this, and as soon as we heard these things, this is Rahab talking to the two spies of Israel that were in her house. As soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is, He is God in heaven above and earth beneath. Remember, she's not only having this conversation with these two spies, but she's about to negotiate a deal for her salvation and from saving them from the king of Jericho. Notice now what Rahab did not do. Rahab knew that they had wealth from Egypt. Rahab knew that they had acquired a few things along the journey. Notice what she did not ask for. She did not ask for money. She didn't ask for objects, a position, or a special place reserved for her family after the city was conquered. She simply said this in Joshua 2:12. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I've showed you kindness, that you will show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Here's all I want, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. In other words, the only thing that Rahab requested of them is this: I want my family saved. I could have everything, but I want my family. Is there any mothers that you want your family saved? Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Mama, there are times when you feel as though your opinion doesn't matter and no one wants you around because His Spirit in you disturbs the devils around you. But you stay faithful because God wants you. And God has heard your prayers. And God knows exactly what you're going through. Somebody clap your hands and say hallelujah. See this? Because Rahab didn't even know what was required of her. All she wanted was said. All she said was this: I don't want your money. I know you got it, but I don't want it. I just want you to keep my daddy alive. Spare my mother, my brothers, and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. My prayer today is, on this Mother's Day 2023, is that God Almighty will baptize each of us with the same passion that Rahab had for her family, that no matter what, I want my family saved. I want them saved. And notice what the spies told Rahab to do. Joshua chapter 2 and verse 18. Behold, when, everybody say when. Here's what they're saying. Behold, when we come into the land. Say that, when we come into the land. Here's what they said, that when they get there, here's what she's supposed to do. You should bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Did you notice? It was as if the spies were giving a time frame. They said, when? They said, when we come into the land, attach the rope to the window. They said, when we come to the land. It's an important point to make. Notice what she did, though. She wasn't going to wait around or play with her salvation and the salvation of her family. She wasn't going to try to wait until word got to them that Israel or the children of God were coming into the land. She wasn't going to wait around until a more convenient time to seek out the means of salvation. Look what the Bible states. Joshua chapter 2 and 21. Here's what she did. And she said, according unto your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. She didn't wait for the children of Israel to march in. She made the decision. My salvation, the salvation of my family, is so important. I'm nailing it down right now. Our family deserves to be saved. I want to tell us today, mothers don't wait to string the line up for when it might be convenient to save your family. You start it right now. You start praying right now. You start seeking God right now, and God will remember the covenant with you. Clap your hands and say hallelujah. See, sometimes it's not very convenient. It's inconvenient to have boundaries set up in our homes. But your salvation and the salvation of your family depends on it. You know, growing up, my mother had some boundaries. My father had some boundaries. And it wasn't very convenient at times. Matter of fact, it was inconvenient. You know, we wanted to do what we wanted to do, but mama said, if you're not here by such and such time, you and I are going to have a heart-to-heart. And I didn't like those heart-to-hearts with my mama. You know, there was boundaries set up. You're not going to date so-and-so because the line has been drawn. Well, you're not going to bring that home with you. I know I'm preaching, it's a little rough. I've already put myself in the doghouse because I got mommy scrub daddy or whatever that thing. Scrub mommy. But hear me today. Rahab set up boundaries and it was inconvenient. They had to step over it. They had to, you know, adjust themselves according to the rope that hung from the window to the ground. I tell us today, we need to stand strong to the boundaries. Hey, kids, you can't bring that home. You can't talk like that. You're not dating that person. Come on, somebody, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unholy thing, and I will receive you. We got to set up some boundaries. The salvation of your family depends on it. We weren't allowed to bring certain things into our home because mama said, there's a line drawn. You're not going to bring that mess into my home, because when you bring that in, you bring in the spirits with it. You're not going to wear that in my home. We tried. Mama had a way with getting that taken care of. She had a scarlet rope drawn, amen, and every once in a while it was inconvenient, but it was exactly what we needed. I tell us today, you want your family saved? Draw some boundaries. Amen. So here it is. Mamas, just stay faithful. You see, because Rahab stayed faithful, and because Rahab stayed faithful, we find her in the genealogy of Jesus called the Christ. You've got great things coming, but you got to remain faithful. Look at somebody and say, just stay faithful, mama. Well, turn around and look at somebody else. I know it's uncomfortable, man, so just find a lady. Just stay faithful, mama. So now we're finding in Scripture there's Ruth. She's the one who does not belong there. Matthew chapter 1, 5 through 6. And Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David the king. You see, Ruth in Scripture, read it for yourself. Read her history. She's got a book about her. She was a Moabite. Her culture was contrary to the worship of the one true living God. This nation alone to which she hailed from literally was conceived by a sinful encounter. Read it. Lot's family. Ruth was an individual of a series of unfortunate events. Her husband died. Her father-in-law died. Her brother-in-law died. Her sister-in-law left them. And her mother-in-law was too old to give her another man to marry. And remember. It was the culture of the day that if the spouse died, the next of kin would carry on the family name for her. And there was nobody there. Here she was. She says to her mother-in-law, Naomi, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. She's coming out from a situation where it was comfortable to stay. She knew the culture. She knew the people. She probably even knew the language. But she said to Naomi, your God, the one true living God, he's mine. If you want me to serve God, he's mine. I'll do it. So she was a new convert, per se, of the worship of the one true living God. She really didn't belong in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, but it is through her to which kings came. She's the one that did not belong, yet the one who breaks all molds, unified her faithfulness and worship. I stand here today to tell us that if you feel like you don't belong, there is a place for you in Jesus. He's a personal Savior. He wants to get involved in your life and in my life. You see, Ruth, she represents those that should not be there. And that lets me know that even though I do not belong here, the Lord makes it right. Even if you feel like you don't belong, you feel like no one wants you, you feel like an outcast, the Bible says it. And Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of the David, the kings, he wants to right the wrongs. Here it is, though. Just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. What if Ruth didn't follow? What if Rahab didn't draw the boundaries? You know what? One study says that Rahab literally married one of those spies that came to her house. What if? There's so many what ifs. Hear me today. You just stay faithful. And God will fulfill the promises in your life. Right. Then there is Bathsheba. She's the broken one in Scripture. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 6. And Jesse, the father of David, the king. And David was the father of Solomon, of her. Watch this. That had been the wife of Uriah. Do you notice that? Scripture, she's not even mentioned by name. She's not even mentioned in this text of the genealogy of Jesus. Oh, it's David. David and that lady had Solomon. They don't even want to mention her name, you see, because she's the broken one. Yet we know who she is. We know who she is reading about David's sin of taking her and then killing her husband to conceal the pregnancy. You see, Bathsheba is the broken one. She lost her husband. A cover-up caused her to lose her identity. She lost her way. She didn't even get a chance to mourn the death of her true love, Uriah. No one cared to hear her side of the story. Yet she is found, unmentioned by name, but it is through her that we find her in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You see, salvation was coming through her. She just had to stay faithful. Just stay faithful, Mama. God is not done with your story. And some of you here today, you feel like your story's over. God's not done. You just keep serving God. When it doesn't make sense, you keep serving God. When things are going against you, you just keep serving God. If you feel broken, you just keep serving God. Amen. God wants to use whatever the part of the story that is broken and undone and correct it and make it right. He's not done with you yet. There's more to it. Just stay faithful. And again, I propose this thought to us today that we might have messed up, fallen short, been torn up from the floor up, a mess, a past, broken. Yet God Almighty chooses to get involved with humanity and make something beautiful out of our messes. And I'm sure we all have things that we don't want to talk about or we all have things in our lives that could be labeled as unmentionable. We all have this in common. Scripture says it, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yes, we may have unmentionable things found hidden away in our lives, yet he sees past our issues and still chooses to get involved with you and I. He took a woman. It took a woman, though, to remain faithful when things didn't make sense. Just say it with me. Just stay faithful, Mama. Just look at one of these ladies in here. You mothers, just stay faithful, Mama. Just stay faithful. See, he's not done writing your story. And lastly, we can't forget Mary, the unlikely one. Matthew chapter 1 and 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. You see, she herself states that she was unworthy and had questions as to why she would ever be involved with such an encounter. And yet the angelic visitation is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 27 to 35, stating that she would be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. Luke 1, 35, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in you shall be called the Son of God. See, the great one chose to get involved with the unlikely one. The great one chose to get involved with the unlikely one. I mean, if you were to look at Mary's yearbook, maybe her senior year where they say the most likely to succeed, amen, or the funniest, hers would probably next to it say the unlikely one. She was shy. She was modest. She was humble and she was quiet. While others were throwing the parties, Mary, the unlikely one, was seeking the Lord and the counsel of her spiritual leaders. Hear me today. Hear me today. You might feel like you're the unlikeliest to ever have an encounter with God, God Almighty, but on this Mother's Day, just stay faithful, Mama. God has the final say. For Scripture records this statement, Luke 2:11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Wherever you are, wherever you've come from, from whatever background you have, we have a Savior who wants to get involved in our lives. And today, as a mother, you just might feel like you're able to relate to Tamar, the forgotten one, Rahab, the unwanted one, Ruth, the one who doesn't belong, Bathsheba, the broken one, Mary, the unlikely one. Yet Jesus wants to come and bring all those broken pieces and shattered dreams to completeness. You just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. If we could all stand. Just stay faithful. I'm going to do something a little different, and that is, maybe if some of these mothers would want to step out from where you are. Just let's be a little bold, Mama. I know you can. I watched little Jalea worshiping God, clapping her. She was just clapping her little hands and raising her hands and patting her little foot. You know why she does that? She sees a mama. She sees her daddy. She sees her sisters worshiping the Lord. Felicia, you stay faithful, Mama. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Just stay faithful. I think about the kids that are in this church, and I think about how unlikely some may have felt, or the parent felt like maybe they were the unlikely one, but now their kids are serving God and worshiping God. You know, I think Colt Michaela that made his grand entrance on the stage, the platform here. You know what? If he's running now, he's going to keep running in the house of God through worship and praise. Just stay faithful, Mama. When things don't make sense, just stay faithful. You might feel like you're the unwanted one, the neglected one, the forgotten one. Just stay faithful. Now I'm going to ask if we could, maybe some of the kids or some of the family, come behind your mother if you don't mind. There's room. If you don't have kids here today, if your children aren't here, would you link up with another woman right now? Men, would you just maybe link up with each other? Just be faithful, Mama. Sister Carla, just be faithful. Just be faithful, Mama. Just. Guiding your children into responsible, godly adulthood is the most important work of your life. So we must pray for wisdom to seek and train those kids of ours. And yes, raising children is part joy, and at times it feels like guerrilla warfare. And yes, it's true that babies come into the world with no instructions, and you pretty much have to assemble them on your own. And they are madly complex things. But the best parenting skills come from the Word of God. And if you have a question, just open the book. If you don't know what to do, just open the Word of God. That's the best manual to ever apply to the lives of yourself and your family. Just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Now, as family units, would we begin to pray for the strength of our family right now? Just pray for the strength.
Lord bless you and keep you. make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face toward you and give you peace.
Lord Jesus, I pray right now your strength.
And
Lord, if there's a family member that feels like they're forgotten, God, you still want to get involved. Today someone feels like they're the unwanted one, Lord, you still can get involved. If you feel like even right now you might feel like you're the one who doesn't belong, the broken one, the unlikely one, hear me today, just stay faithful.
The Lord
just stay
bless
faithful.
You. Rejoicing, he is for you, he is for you, he is for you.